Well, if that don't light your fire, your wood is wet. If that don't ring your bell, your clapper's broke. I'm telling you, Jesus lights my fire. Amen? I get excited at His name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Pilate tried to accuse Him. Satan tried to seduce Him. Death tried to hold Him, but He stands forth upon the highest pinnacles of heavenly glory, proclaimed of God, acknowledged by angels, adored by saints, and feared by devils as the living personal Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus. If Jesus don't get you excited, what will? I get more excited about Jesus than I do football, amen, or basketball or baseball. What excites you? What lights your fire? I'm excited this morning. I believe the Lord's here, amen? Amen. Y'all ain't had a chance to say that today, have you? Well, we got all these clouds going. John says he's got Jesus on the cloud. So you want to hit that, brother, and let us see Jesus on the cloud? I don't know what John's talking about. I haven't seen this. I have no idea what it is. But we'll see. Is Jesus on the cloud? I see the cross. All right. But Jesus is, He is. Did you know the Bible says He's in the cloud? Yeah. God reveals Himself all the time to all of us. And you know what? It's not just always just having to come to church to hear a sermon. I'd rather see one than hear one any day. So what God's put on my heart is to ask different people in our church to give a testimony. And I have a hot message I want to preach, but I've got to get quick out of here today. We got a real short business session that I told the deacons, kiss it. Keep it short, sir. So we're going to kiss it because it's just a formality. We got to get in our minutes that we've got people that can sign off on CSI and we've accepted their loan and all that. It's just a formality. But still, we're here to worship God today. Amen. And so I got a little concern when I started asking people in our church, well, do you know so-and-so? Well, I'm not sure who that is. So I'm going to introduce you to some of our folks that's been here a long time. I want you to get to know them. As I've had the privilege, and I want you to get to know them even deeper. Now, listen to me. I'm going to challenge you to do something because I had the joy of being in this person's home this week, and I just had myself a spell. I had a wonderful time of fellowship, and we need to get around and get to know each other. And the lady, I'm hoping that we give her testimony next Sunday. What a blessing she is. I mean, every time I go to her house, I tell you, I get fed. And then the next week, I believe we'll hear it's just going to get better every week. So invite folks to come. But I've asked Stevie Griffin to share his testimony today. So Stevie, where you at? Come on, brother. I've come to love this dear man of God. He certainly has loved on me. Marie and him both are two of the greatest encouragers every Sunday. We appreciate you, Pastor. We love you. Thank you for preaching the word. And they love God's word. God's used this man to help build this church, and he was very instrumental. Look at there. You got your hat on, brother.
Sure do.
Don't you look better beside me?
Yeah, I'd have to say that.
No, that's not true. Maybe it's the other way around. But Stevie, come and share your testimony, brother.
First of all, it's not me and about me. It's all what Jesus Christ has done.
Amen.
I've been in this church ever since it's been. And I'm not bragging or boasting, but I'm very thankful that it's still here and it's still for the right cause and the right reason. Amen. I've thought all week, ever since we talked, Ronnie, I've spent a lot of hours thinking and praying to God. Amen. I'm the oldest of 12. Got one brother that has passed. My mama had a time with 12 kids, 10 boys and 2 girls. I didn't. So, I got Becky helping me. So, but God has blessed, and He's not through yet.
Amen.
Now, if we stop, that's on us.
That's right.
But folks, this is a great place, and it's a good place. But it's mostly what we make out of it. We fail miserably in doing our best. But thank God, He's a forgiving God. People have health issues, health problems, and a lot of things. And they never tell anybody. You have to kind of look around and kind of be aware of what's happening and what's going on, or people will get left out and be missed. And that'd be sad. But I just thank you for the opportunity to come up here and to share with you. It's not me, but it's God using me.
Amen.
And I'm glad. Because without God, I would be nothing. Prayer. Prayer is a tremendous thing. People take things for granted. We don't mean to, but we do. We're human. That's no reason, but it's true. Being a witness, telling somebody about the Lord. I was so amazed when my daddy got involved in church. And he would never talk to anybody, I noticed, that he didn't bring the Lord in it. And I thought that was amazing how he did that. He might tell them about the sunshine or a car being worked on or something, but he would bring the Lord in it each and every time. And I was so thankful. And it opened my eyes. So all I can tell you is that I love each and all of you. And some people I don't even know. That's not hard. But God is on the throne. And this is God's place. God's house. So we should never fail to keep it as it needs to be and to bring people in that they too might be able to realize and recognize what they are missing if they're not serving the Lord and not enjoying it and friendship and fellowship and all that kind of stuff. But I appreciate the opportunity. I thank each and every one of you for being here. And if there's any way I can help you or do anything or pray for you, because I have learned in later years that prayer is essential.
Amen.
I pray a whole lot more than people could ever imagine. I didn't even know what prayer was way back when. But God has blessed, and He's not through with us yet.
That's right.
So if you need somebody to encourage you to come alongside, I'd be glad to. I ask you to bless me, forgive me, and pray for me, as I will you. And let's don't give up yet. It's not over till God says it's over.
Amen.
Thank you for the opportunity. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Stevie, and what a blessing you are to us and encouragement. And, you know, that's what God's called us all to do. You know, if we can't build each other up and encourage each other, then, you know, why are we a church? We're here to help each other. And I hope you feel that you're being helped and encouraged in the Lord to grow. And we want to grow today. Are you ready to grow?
Yes.
Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And when you found your place, let's all stand together and reverence the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. Today is a unique day. We've got a lot taking place today. I've got a funeral to do at 3. We've got to be back here with the family. Our church is feeding them at 4. This is Sheila Yako's mother who passed. And also we were with Jim Scott's wife passed away this weekend, so we were with him yesterday at a funeral. And then we've got children's choir at 5 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, we've got the Judgment House video, and then following that, choir practice. So we don't have much to do today, but anyway, we're going to learn something from God today in His Word. Let's read in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye adulterers, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. That's 23,000 people. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Father, thank you for the testimony we've heard today that God has not changed. He's still on the throne, and this is your work, and we pray that, God, we would be busy about building your kingdom, and may your kingdom come and may your will be done, is my prayer. Anoint this time of study that we will leave here today having heard from God and having learned so we can grow to be more like Jesus. To the end that some life would be changed today, I pray your Holy Spirit would be welcome in this place. I thank you for his presence. I've already felt him today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We've been talking some time about idols, and what I've been wanting you to get you to try to get you to understand, it don't have to be in some figure. It don't have to be in some statue, a piece of metal, a piece of wood. Idols, listen to me carefully, is anything that substitutes God in our life. Anything that comes between us and God. Our idols take various forms, power and success, approval. Many people want approval, comfort, pleasure, control, security. And since true change only occurs when we repent and turn from the deep-seated idols in our lives, a key aspect of the gospel coaching is learning the identity of our idols and then learning what it means to repent. So I'm going to deal today with repentance and idolatry. Just as we can't kill a tree by cutting off a few branches, we also can't hope to defeat sin by simply feeling bad about its outcomes. And since our idols are the things we treasure and value more than Jesus, we discover them by honestly asking what gives our life meaning, worth, and value. Consider this list. Which of these idols give you the meaning? Which are the things you treasure that give your life value and worth? One, power idols, control, position, influence, success. Approval idols, such as relationships, achievement, ethnicity, social circles, appearance. Security idols, family, finances, protection, religion, safety, future. Comfort idols, pleasure, health, freedom, excesses, home, vehicles, recreation. Our new saviors make promises to provide us with meaning or worth, ways in which we will achieve wholeness. But these self-made idols also threaten us, warning us that if we do not serve them, our lives will be worthless and meaningless and empty. We start out by asking them to serve us, but eventually we end up serving them. They overtake us, mastering our desires and ending up controlling us. And I hear this often. And we talked about freedom last week. I want more. I want more freedom. I want more to do what I want. And yet we end up with less because then we find ourselves in bondage. So it's interesting how we don't know how to get set free. Well, here's the answer today. And Satan don't want us to learn it, but here's the answer. Number one, an explanation for repentance. Let's explain repentance. Let's talk about it. The Greek for repentance, the Greek is this. He says, moreover, brethren, I would not have you to to be ignorant. And a lot of people are ignorant about what the word repent really means. What is the Greek meaning of repentance? Well, the Greek word is metanoia, and it means repent in that it helps us with two compound. There's a compound word here. The word meta, which means admit or with, and then the word neo, which means to exercise the mind. Literally, it means this. It's accomplished by the exercise. Now, get this. Repentance is accomplished by the exercise of the mind with understanding of who God is. And folks, if you ever understand who God is, you'll want to repent because He's holy and He's righteous and He's pure. And we don't think we need to repent today because we've dumbed everything down. And this is how God just spoke to me when I woke up this morning. We're dumbing everything down today. We've dumbed education down. Really. I remember when I went to school, you know what, man, we had to, I mean, it was tough. And the bar was high. And you really had to work for it. But now we've lowered the bar in our educational system. Is it true, teachers, or not? A lot of you are teachers. But I'm going to even say this as a pastor. We've dumbed down church. We really have. Something that was really bothering me when I woke up this morning. I believe this was God dealing with me. That we come up with our styles of worship. You know, you have a lot of churches now. They have a contemporary service. They have a traditional service. Because it's about us and about our style. I got to think about it. There's nowhere in Scripture that talks about a style of worship. The Bible says you're to worship in spirit and in truth. We've made it about us with our worship styles. I don't mean to get on anybody's case. I know I'm old school, and I'm getting older. I'm realizing that. But I still feel young, but I still wear a tie to church for a reason. I don't condemn anyone who don't. But to me, if I was going to go meet a king or a queen, I'd dress accordingly. And I'm coming to meet King Jesus every Sunday. Amen? Now, I am going to put some heavy weight on our ushers. I am going to start asking in the new church year that our ushers wear a tie. Because I like this tie that Laura Hash has come up with. And I'm going to make every usher, I'm going to beg you, and I'll pay. If you can't afford it, I'll help you. I want you to get a tie that says Gorge Springs Baptist Church. Because I want you to be the welcome committee. And I want you to look the part. I want you to look like you're going to welcome people. In church, though, we've dumbed a lot of things down. You know why we keep dumbing things down? Because we know that if the bar is up, then we've got to grow and we've got to do a whole lot more repenting than we are doing. We don't have to repent if the bar is low. Because then, you know, I've sinned, you've sinned, and we're all happy. But nobody's happy in their sin.
Amen.
No. No, we think somehow that maybe if we lower the bar, we can all feel comfortable in church. And in fact, let the preacher take his cut off and let him take his tie off and put a polo shirt on and see how many hairs he can show on his chest and just look the part and go casual. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm offended that we're trying to come casual before God.
Amen.
Because God is holy and He's righteous and He still sits on a throne and He's high and He's lifted up and we need to honor and respect who God is. And God is still God. You say, preacher, is that the Greek of repentance? Well, I don't know. That's just the overflow of this morning. I had a spell before breakfast. But here's the thing. We got to understand, it's a change of mind. Did you know it happens here first? Right here, as a man thinketh, so is he. So how you think is the way you act. No wonder Paul said, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. As a man, that's why we need to read our Bibles every day. Let me tell you the truth about your preacher. If I didn't read my Bible every day, listen to me, I would be reading something else that would not be good for me. Like the newspaper. I don't read the newspaper. It's the same old bad news every day. But I read God's word and it gives life to me and it gives me hope and gives me assurance. And the older I get, the more I believe it. I really do. Someone asked me some years ago, man, you preach like you believe all that stuff. Really? I'm going to tell you something, folks. You may not know the Greek or the Hebrew, but we all know what it means to turn from our wicked ways. And the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's repentance. And the truth of it is, somebody needs to tell the truth. I've sinned and you've sinned and we all need to repent. Amen. Stevie said it right. We all mess up. We don't do things right because we have a fallen nature and we live in a fallen world. But thank God for a God who not only teaches us what the word repentance means, but He guides us. The guide to repentance, thank God for His word. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the guide now of repentance. The guide is right here in the Bible. Notice what He says. Now, hey, you want to learn something today? Here's your opportunity. How that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud. Isn't that confusing? And all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Under the cloud means that they had guidance. You remember this. God led the children of Israel by cloud in the day. He led them by pillar of fire by night. So He guided them. How does God guide us to repentance? The guide for us is the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. That is where serious Bible study is imperative. How was it that they were baptized in the sea? How were they baptized unto Moses? Don't try to tell me that Moses had a baptism service at the Red Sea and he baptized them. Because the Bible says to me that none of them got wet. In fact, the record in Exodus tells us they went through the Red Sea on dry ground. So the people that did get wet was not the children of Israel, God's people. It was the Egyptians. And when they got baptized, they got drowned. Amen. But what about God's people? So obviously, when it says they were baptized unto Moses, He's not talking about water. He's simply saying this. It means that they were identified with Moses. The word baptizo is the word baptism, and it means to identify. Water baptism has that meaning as it speaks of our identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Water baptism is an outward expression. It's a picture of an inward experience. Listen to me carefully. Boy, do we need to hear this today, and somebody probably won't like it, but baptism has become an idol. Yeah, it's become an idol. Baptism cannot substitute salvation. That water cannot save you. It's Harnett County water. How many times y'all have heard me say that? It's not water, it's the blood that washes our sins away. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward experience, but baptism is significant. It identifies with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so what this scripture is teaching us is that the children of Israel, you see, they didn't even have faith. You know, they were mumbling and grumbling, and Moses, and they got down the Red Sea. They said, oh, it would have been better if we just stayed in Egypt. Here comes Pharaoh's army, the Red Sea in front of us. They had no faith whatsoever. So what's going on here? Well, they identified with Moses and his faith. And Moses had faith in God. When he held up that staff, the Red Sea parted and the children of Israel got to walk across that Red Sea. Now, I'm going to tell you, on dry ground, and none of them got wet. The point is that God will guide you to repentance. He's given us His word, but we've got to be identified as people of the book. We've got to be identified as people who love the Lord God, and we're hungry for His word and the Holy Spirit. We've been baptized in His Holy Spirit. That means we've identified with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. He identified us with the body of Christ. He puts us into the body as a member. That's what it means to be baptized in the Spirit. He puts us in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the temple of God. You understand? And so the neat thing about this, you've got Jesus. Amen? I like preaching this. Adam and Eve walked with God. Jesus lives in us. We've got it better. We've got the Savior. We know Him as He's the rock of our salvation. Paul is saying our identity is not with Moses, it's with Christ, the solid rock of our salvation. And then I got to give you this. It took me years to get this as a young guy. I mean, man, starting out ministry, I did not know this. The gift of repentance. I don't know what I was thinking, but I remember I started pastoring a church when I was 19. I'd been preaching from 14 to 19. I was preaching youth revivals. And I didn't understand this. In my mind, I was thinking, yeah, it's up to me to repent. I've got to have a change of mind. I've got to turn against my will and my way for God's will and God's way to be accomplished. That was repentance to me. But then I learned, the scripture says, this is good, that God gives us the gift to repent. I mean, you can't do it in your flesh, but God, the Holy Spirit can. God, the Word of God will transform you, the gift of repentance. He says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased in verse 5, but they were overthrown in the wilderness. Many Christians choose to live in the wilderness. The wilderness represents, it's identified with defeated Christian living. Most Christians are living in the wilderness. Yeah, these were God's people. They'd come out of bondage. They'd come out of Egypt. They were now walking in the wilderness. How many years? 40 years. You know why? Because they didn't turn from their wicked ways. They did not repent. Could they have gone into the promised land? Sure they could have. Now, what is the promised land? Heaven? No. The promised land is victorious Christian living. That's here now. We're to be living in the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, because our God rules and our God reigns and He's given us the gift of repentance. But Satan don't want us to learn this. Most Christians live in the wilderness because they're not willing to repent. The wilderness represents defeat and the promised land represents victory. And God gives us the gift of repentance. Here it is, Romans 11, 29. For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. In other words, they come with repentance. God will help us to repent. Just as Paul said here in chapter 10, where we are, verse 13. Look what he says in verse 14. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee. How do you flee? I got the children in my class. Where's Zach at? I don't know where he's around here. But Zach and I were talking this morning, and I said, when the devil comes knocking your door, what you going to do? He said, I'm going to send Jesus to the door. If we could teach our children this, learn how to say no. Yeah. So I taught Zach this morning. When some other little boy comes to you and he wants to get you in involved in a lie, just say no. When some other little boy, as you grow older, and he offers you a beer or something, you say no. If some little girl tries to get you something you don't want to do, just learn to say no. You can say no to the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's repentance. Turning from your ways, turning to God's way. It's a change of mind. The gift of repentance is that God has given us the guide, His Word. He's given us the Holy Spirit. God has given us Jesus, and He lives in us. He's the rock of our salvation. And then the last thing, and I'm done, is the example for repentance. Now, He's given us some great examples here. Let's study them. Notice in verse 7. He said, neither be ye idolaters, as some were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat, listen to this, and drank, and they rose up to play. They played with what? They played with God. A lot of people think God's a toy. Some people play God. Some people play with the Christian life. They play church. In other words, they're not real. Now, these people were playing with idols. They were dabbling in all kinds of stuff. And you might want to learn this because this goes back to last Sunday's sermon on the idols of freedom. Do you know that I'm going to say it again. Do a biblical, just like last week, I taught you about the matrix of liberty. We're going to start studying that on Wednesday night. The matrix of liberty, and nobody in our church had ever heard of it. That's amazing. No one's ever heard of the matrix of liberty. But I've had people this week say, I Googled it, and it's really there. It's amazing what we're going to learn about the matrix of liberty. But here's what I want you to understand. No nation has ever survived. No nation has ever continued who flaunted their sexuality. Paul talks about fornication here. That's talking about sex outside of the will of God. Roman Empire fell because of their orgies and their fornication. That's how the Roman Empire fell. I Googled that last night. But you will look at all the nations that have failed, and guess where America is? You know, it came out this about a week ago, and it really bothered me. I'm not a big shopper, and I'm not trying to promote any business, but it really bothered me that Target came out with this whole department now for the gays, you know, homosexuality. We're promoting it. You say, well, what's so wrong with it? Well, God's word says it's an abomination to him. And God, that's where I stand. Do I hate homosexuals? No, I love them. I'll never forget one evening, or I got a message at the church I used to be at on the voicemail, and this lady said, can you come to see me? I've got some problems with my son. I'll never forget that. I don't know why I'm telling you this. But anyway, so I get one of my deacons, and we go over, and I'd never been in a situation like this. So I'm there talking to this lady, and she's telling me, she said, my son's left home. He's 18 years old, and I don't understand why he left. But said, could it be that, and I didn't know another person was even in the room. It was a dark, dark room. Could it be that this lady over here, who is my lover, could that have upset him? It's upsetting me, lady. I didn't know that, and that lady, she never said anything, that woman. And she was, in other words, they were saying they're lesbians. But she tried to tease me and question me. She said, now, if we come to your church, can we hold hands? I said, sure you can. Yeah, I'll welcome both of you. And I wasn't trying to be smart. I meant what I said. Come and hold hands. She said, well, would you recognize us as a couple? And I said, well, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to preach the same gospel that I'm sharing with you tonight, because I'd shared the plan of salvation. And here's what the lady said. Well, she said, that what you shared with me offended me. And she said, if you're going to preach that stuff, I'm not coming to your church. I said, I preach it every Sunday. She said, we won't be there. It's funny how that happens. The Word of God reveals our sin. Yeah. Amen. That's why the devil don't want us to get into the Word. He wants us to play with our Christian life. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not living the Christian life intentionally, you're just inviting Satan to take over your life. Even as a Christian, the children of Israel allowed it. And they paid. Oh, they paid dearly. Let's talk about that for a minute. Now, you know, as I mentioned, liberty is not a license to sin. People drift from God in search for more and more freedom, choices, and pleasures. But when, in fact, they end up with much less, just like the prodigal son. Oh, did he pay? I mean, he took his father's inheritance, went out and partied, enjoyed his substance, the Bible says, for a season when he had a lot of money, had a lot of friends. But where did the prodigal son end up? In the hog parlor of life. And guess what he wanted to eat? Hog slop. Yeah, what they fed to the pigs. Boy, did he pay a price. When you walk away from God, you're going to pay a price. I don't care what anybody says. It's a dangerous thing to go back where God has brought you from. And the prodigal son knew the father, and the father loved him. And of course, you know the rest of the story. He did go back to be hired as a servant. And the father said, no, you're my son. They put a robe on his back, shoes on his feet, ring on his finger, killed the fattened calf. And of course, you know, this is a typical Baptist thing. Then his brother got mad, and had his lip all pushed out, and he was all angry because the brother, they were having a party for him, won't have one for him. It's always somebody getting jealous about something. But don't play with God, because you will pay before God. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Here's a great reason to repent. So that you might live. Sexual sin is killing America. It's squeezing the life. Pornography, all this stuff, it's destroying our homes. And you're not a man. Nah, you're not a man. You're not a real man. You're a wimp. They would look at some other woman that's not your wife. Hello? Because God called you to be faithful to your wife. That would be adultery. Someone said to me one Sunday, Pastor Ronnie, I thought you pronounce idolatry is adultery. I said, I meant the same thing. It's unfaithfulness to God. You've entered into a covenant relationship with the Holy God. Amen? And church, I want to teach you this. You came into this church. I hope, and we got a lot of new members here. You came here having entered a covenant with God, but you also came here having entered a covenant with one another. And we all are accountable to each other. Because I'm going to tell you, when there's one who fails, it hurts us all. Oh, yeah. I think about all the preachers that have failed over the years. But there's a long list of deacons and Sunday school teachers. And like Stevie said, everybody messes up. But the fact is, we best repent of our sin, because God will not forgive us if we don't repent. Did you know that? God cannot forgive unrepented sin, just like he can't forgive unconfessed sin. No, you got to confess it, right? You got to own up to it. Nobody wants to own up to it. But I'm going to tell you, you pay now or you pay later. Because, you know, you're going to play, you're going to pay. And here's what the children of Israel, oh, did they pay now? Fornication was rampant in Numbers 25. It was associated with the idol feasts, and they were naked and they were having sex outside of marriage. And Numbers 25 is all about the orgies and all the junk that was going on, the fornication, the spiritual fornication of idolatry. Someone said, well, what's the big deal? Folks, it may not offend you, but it offends God. And you think about what happened. Okay, what happened? 23,000 died? You say, well, preacher, we don't see that happening in America today. You don't? There's a lot of things that are associated with sex outside of marriage. We could talk about a lot of different things. Don't have all the time. It can get pretty nasty and pretty dirty. Ask the homosexuals. They're not doing it God's way. They're doing things outside of God's plan and outside of God's will. And when you do that, you get into all kinds of disease. Sherry reminded me this morning. She said, you ever broke down the word disease? Dis-ease. Dis-ease. And no wonder so many people are seeing diseases, because they're not doing things God's way. And friend, there's a dis-ease in America today. There's all kinds of diseases we're suffering from. And in America right now, you're talking about paying. We're paying a dear price of division. We don't have, as much of a race problem in America as we do have a sin problem. But we're letting race and other things divide. We are a divided people in many ways. And we're paying. We're paying. Why adultery is unfaithfulness to your marriage relationship, fornication is sex outside of the will of God. Many Christians have committed spiritual fornication. It is a historical fact that many people have failed right here because they went outside of God's boundaries. You know, we have a play area over here. Do y'all know why we have a fenced-in play area? So the kids can be safe. We don't let our children just run rampant out in the parking lot or go out here in the highway and play, because we love our children and we give them parameters to play in, right? Well, God wants us to have a good life, and he wants us to do it his way. He's given us his word. He's given us parameters to work in, to live by. And when we don't live by it, we're going to get hurt. We're going to pay a dear price. They paid dearly, and then they perished. He says in verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, this murmuring took place so much so that God, and by the way, you may not understand this, but do your research, study. The destroyer here is not the devil. It's God. And God don't like it when you speak against his work. I've heard as much as I want to hear in my lifetime of people murmuring against God in his church. Children of Israel got to murmuring so much that God sent snakes. Snakes bit them and killed them. God has power. You say, well, preacher, why would God do that? Because they were murmuring. They were complaining about God. They were complaining about his word. It's a serious thing. I know the next time some of you get snake bit, you're going to be thinking, have I been murmuring? It's funny, though. I get so excited when I think about this, because when I go to Duke University or I go to some of these big hospitals and I see that snake on that pole, which is a medical symbol They're all in doctor's offices. Nurses know what it is. I guess anybody, they know what. See, as long as the children of Israel could see the serpent lifted up on the stick, they would be saved. And that pointed to Jesus, the Savior. That was what the serpent on the stick was all about, was salvation. Because they were willing to repent, they turned from their sin, and they got their eyes on the right thing. And you and I, if we don't get our eyes on the right thing, our sins will bite us, and they will kill us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Oh, they played, they paid, they perished. Murmuring against God and His work is very dangerous. The destroyer here is not the devil, but it's God. And God is the judge, and He will judge every idle word, the Bible says, that you speak against His work. Folks, I'll tell you what. I told an accountability partner years and years ago, this has been about 35 years ago, I entered a covenant with this man. We both agreed that if we ever said anything, we might say something against some other business, but we're not going to speak against God's work. And I'm afraid to this day that I would say something against the work of God. Man, I don't want to be against God in His work. I want to be for it. Be careful what comes out of your lips. You will perish for it because these people perish. You will perish. It's very dangerous to speak against the work of God. You know, I know this new building is not what everybody would like to see right now, but I'll tell you this. I got enough sense to teach you this. I wouldn't speak against it. No. I wouldn't because I believe God is in it. I've been thinking about CSI, and we went to Jim's wife's funeral yesterday, and there's some godly people there. He's a godly man, and we was talking about the lady who was the architect who drew all this up. She's a godly lady. She drew the church. We had a beautiful sanctuary we were in yesterday, and she did all that, and she loves the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says, don't touch the things of God. Do not touch my anointed. You don't want to mess with God, folks. And I want to teach you that because here's the last thing, and we're going to go. There was a purpose here. They purposed. Look at verse 11. It happened for them, for examples, for who? For us. For our admonition. Here's what I love about verse 11. Let's look at verse 11. Now, all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. That is to edify, to build us, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Here's what I want you to get. The Old Testament is clearly, I'm going to smile real big on this, and I love preaching like this. The Old Testament, a lot of people say, well, that's an Old Testament thing. Well, it's very clear, according to this verse, that the Old Testament is for the New Testament. They're tied together. These things happen as examples for you, Corinthians, for you, Gorge Springs. They happen so you can learn from their sin. You can learn from their mistake so you won't make the same mistake. Hello? Anybody out there this morning? Think about what God is saying in His Word. These things happen for our example, for our admonition, to help us to learn. So I want you to leave here today learning this, that repentance is more than just it's not just turning over a new leaf or walking down the aisle and praying a prayer. Hear me clearly. It's all about a change of mind. God really, literally, He transforms your thinking. And I had a man tell me this years ago. His wife came to Christ and he got mad. Boy, he was mad at me. I got a preacher friend of mine that a man for over a year held a gun on him outside the church. I mean, in other words, he was hiding in a bush trying to shoot this preacher because this preacher preached the gospel. But this man, he didn't come with a gun. He said, you are brainwashing people. He said, my wife got saved and we can't do no more drugs together. We don't drink no more. I'll tell you, I want a party. I married her to party and now all she wants to do is go to church all the time. You messed my marriage up. No, won't me. But guess what? He did get saved years later because she lived a godly life and she lived a separate life. Church, people are looking at us and people are looking at this church like never before. I'm going to ask you something. Are we going to live godly lives here? I said, are we going to live godly lives here? Amen. That's what the world needs to see. Amen. There is a movement among the Southern Baptist Convention right now. That's a good movement. It's to go back to Puritan ways of thinking. And Puritans believe that you're to live a separate life. You're to be a godly people. We've sort of lowered the bar and we've said to people in our churches, Just come as you are. Just do any old way. God loves you. I love you. He'll understand. That's not biblical. God's bar has never changed, church. He's the same yesterday and today forevermore, and sin is still sin, and God is still God. And if we don't repent of our sin, we will pay in this life. Yeah, we got to turn from our wicked ways. And hey, you say, well, preacher, I'm not bad. Well, I'm not bad either, but we still sin. And we need to repent of our sin. And God said He'll heal our land. Do we need a healing of this land? Like never before. Let's bow our head. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. I've tried to keep it short today. I pray today that God, the Holy Spirit, has called someone's name. And I know this, every day, I'm thankful for the gift of repentance. His mercies are near every day. Father, I pray that Your mercy would be felt here in such a deep way. You love Your people so much that You gave Your Son to go to that cross and pay a debt that we could not pay. You paid it all on the Calvary's cross. You paid our sin debt in full. And I'm so thankful that I can stand in this pulpit and preach the hope that's in Christ and in Him alone. He is the rock of our salvation. And I pray just now, if there's someone who has not turned to You fully and fully repented of their sin, that is, that they have allowed You not only to forgive them as far as their sins, but to forgive them of their way of thinking, and that their minds would be transformed by the Word of God. Their minds would be renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray in the name of Jesus, if we didn't learn anything else today, that we would learn that our baptism is a baptism of the Holy Spirit, that just as the children of Israel identified with Moses' faith, we identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And I pray the Holy Spirit would baptize our minds today and renew our minds, that we'll understand that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And You're all we need. Oh God, may we think more like You. May we live more like You. May we live like God. May we live holy, separate lives. May we not lower the bar. But God, may we see the cross as the bar of God that took care of our sin debt. And it was high. He was lifted up high on that cross so that all could see salvation. And we see salvation on that cross today. We still preach the cross and we still preach the blood. Thank You for the forgiveness of our sin as we repent and turn. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand. You come just as you are. This altar is open. No perfect people allowed in this church, but thank God we can be forgiven and cleansed from our sin. You come and just find a place at this altar. And if you've never trusted Christ, I'll be standing down here to help you, lead you to Christ. Let's all sing.